Transform your home in one weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We are rolling along on a Thursday. We've had issues all week with what day it is, but it is Thursday. This is ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I do know that. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul Gallant is on vacation. Josh Beard has been kind enough to fill in for him and for me while I was gone last week. And then Sean Mapes behind the glass. As always, a lot going on in the sports world, even though it's the dog days of summer. We've been talking about Deshaun Watson, day three of that hearing. The Yordan Pena collision, of course. But I don't know if anything was as crazy as what I saw yesterday, guys. So to set the scene for you, y'all remember when the Braves played the Dodgers last week?
Yep.
And Freddie Freeman was emotional.
Very emotional.
Now, not like, oh, I'm coming home, thanks for the tribute video. Like, he was sobbing emotional.
Right.
And had to leave the press conference and come back in. Like, to the point to where even when I saw it, without knowing any of this, I thought, that is odd.
Right.
You know, maybe he's an emotional guy. We're now finding out a little bit more. It was reported that Freeman had fired agent Casey Close over how contract talks with the Braves were handled. Doug Gottlieb, who hosts on Fox, tweeted on Wednesday that Close withheld, so the agent withheld Atlanta's final contract offer intentionally. This is Doug Gottlieb's tweet. Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer. That is why Freeman fired him. Freddie Freeman found out in Atlanta this weekend. It isn't that rare to have happen in MLB, but it happened. Close knew Freddie would have taken the Atlanta deal. So if you're to believe this, not to break it down to you like you're a kindergartner, but if you're to believe this, what Doug Gottlieb is saying is that Freddie Freeman went to LA because his agent said, look, Atlanta doesn't have another offer, bud. Got to go somewhere else. So Freeman goes to LA, comes back this weekend to play the Braves, and is told then by front office members, hey, buddy, we did have another deal. Your agent just withheld it from you. It's a dirty business. We know that much. Apparently, Casey Close is fighting back, saying Doug Gottlieb tweeted a wholly inaccurate characterization of our negotiations with the Braves on behalf of Freddie. We are immediately evaluating all legal options to address the reckless publication of inaccurate information.
Good luck. Doug Gottlieb still hasn't removed the tweet, by the way. Like, it's still up, so it shows how afraid he is that anything's going to happen. I don't know. Maybe does that fall under the
would it be libel?
Would that be libel? Yeah,
slander. Somebody with legal call in right now.
But again, like, what can they do? What can they do to Doug Gottlieb? At the very least, we knew some shady stuff was going on because players don't typically, in the middle of a season, abruptly fire their agents the way Freddie Freeman did. So it's no surprise that Doug Gottlieb's. Now, I will say this. Doug Gottlieb, he's not my favorite person in the world of sports media. I think he has some crazy off-the-wall takes sometimes. I think he's a little iffy when it comes to how he views the game. He plays a game, the game, the dumb game. But he doesn't typically just lie about stuff. Right. He has some crazy off the wall perspectives. He plays the game, but he doesn't just go out there and spew outright lies often because that can discredit you in this business. So a lot of the times guys try to check, double check, triple check, quadruple check. Even if you don't consider yourself an investigative journalist, there's nothing more embarrassing than tweeting something that's wrong or putting something out there that's wrong or claiming something that's wrong. And so Doug Gottlieb's not a guy that is just going to go out there and lie just because. He probably heard this from multiple different people, from some sources that he absolutely trusts, if not from somebody very close to the situation, and put it out there into the world. Yeah, so there's nothing like, the guy can do.
What could they do? Because right. And, you know, Doug Gottlieb didn't say sources. He just said that it happened. I think right. This is much ado about nothing. But it does bring up the interesting conversation again of you're talking about one of baseball's superstars.
Yeah.
If this agent tried to do him dirty. Now, this agent also, I understand, represents Dansby Swanson. So it's not like Freddie Freeman is his only big client. But you don't want to lose Freddie Freeman as a client. Right. You don't want to lose these high-profile, influential guys and guys that are known as good guys. Freddie Freeman is not known as being difficult to deal right. with or selfish or all about the money. He's known as a family man who's nice, who's fair, et cetera, et cetera. I have, you know, friends in Atlanta that have dealt with them. So you don't want to lose any clients. I don't know what can be done. Do you think this influences maybe, do you think Fox has a conversation with their people about, hey, make sure your sources are firm, or do you think they blow this off?
I think they blow this off. If Fox were even close to being worried about this, they would have already had Doug Gottlieb remove his tweet.
Yeah, apologize.
Yeah, exactly. It would already be gone, which means they probably immediately went and looked at what this could mean, what the sources are, where he heard this from, confirmed it, and they have no issues. That tweet would not be on there right now if there were any concerns that they could take real legal action against him.
Yeah, somebody on Twitch said Doug Gottlieb gets in the headlines like 5 times a year for getting in arguments. They are usually funny, though. Do you guys remember his argument with Emmanuel Acho's brother, yes. Sam Acho?
Yeah.
Where he was like...
Sam Acho body bagged him, too.
So, yeah. So Sam Acho had a bad top 5 quarterback list that did not include Patrick Mahomes. It was stunning. Now, Sam Acho works for ESPN. His brother's one that works for Fox.
Right.
So Doug Gottlieb tweets out the list and is like, you can't be serious, hot take guy, blah, blah, blah. And then it got so intense, and at one point, Emmanuel Acho was like, if you come from my brother, stay ready or something.
Yeah, well, then,
Emmanuel Acho, like,
Emmanuel Acho, he also started comparing Doug Gottlieb to other broadcasters, and I'm sorry, it was Emmanuel Acho that body bagged him, but it was a hilarious exchange. I mean, the quarterback list was objectively awful, but Emmanuel Acho just completely went full bore after Doug Gottlieb, and it was hilarious. Look, Doug Gottlieb gets himself into hot water, but he just doesn't seem like a guy that would just outwardly lie about something for clicks.
I have right. Emmanuel Acho's tweet at Doug Gottlieb from February yes. this year. So Doug Gottlieb said, when you have no defense for your brother's indefensible take, you go at the messenger. Because Emmanuel Acho was like, Doug right. Gottlieb's an idiot. And Emmanuel Acho went, my brother's take was trash, but so is your career as a pro athlete and an on-air personality. So we can agree there's trash all around. You keep talking slick on Twitter like you somebody. Ask at Colin Coward to take a day off so you can get some airtime again.
Yikes. Yikes.
So good, dude. It's so good. Yeah, Emmanuel Acho.
There was one that was like, come for my brother or something, like a quote tweet like that was just really ridiculous.
Emmanuel Acho has his odd takes too, though. I don't always love what he says.
No, Emmanuels are worse than Doug.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
be, let's
yeah.
be clear about
I was trying to be nice,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
If we're building the hierarchy of these three, Emmanuel Acho is the bottom.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
But he got a good tweet off, so.
He did get a great tweet off, though.
He did. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Astros. I want to recap this just because there were some reports of injuries, and we don't know yet what's happened to Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena. There was a collision last night in the game against the Mets. The Astros won 2-0. At one point, Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena collided. It did not look good. All of us that watched it said that does not look good. Here's what Dusty Baker had to say about the status of Jeremy Pena and Yordan Alvarez after that collision.
Well, we don't know yet. You know, they're getting further evaluation on a number of things, so just don't want to jump to conclusions yet. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to start, you know, guessing on what it is or what it could be. And I don't want to think the worst. I want to think the best. So, like I said, we have to wait, you know, to see what it is.
You think they'll be able to fly home with you?
I have no clue. I don't think they're through with the evaluation. Like I said, I don't want to jump to conclusions, so we just have to wait.
So you don't want anybody hurt, but you definitely don't want Jeremy Pena and Yordan Alvarez hurt. When you saw this hit, you thought what? I mean, collision.
Instantly fear that there was some kind of limb damage or something like that. Like that maybe one of them could have hurt. What was it? The which pitcher from the Angels broke his elbow during that fight the other day?
Yeah, that's right.
Like anytime there's a collision like this between two guys that were running the way they were, are as big as they are, there's always fear about knees, elbows, anything like that, especially with Jordan. It's not like he hasn't dealt with his share of lingering issues here and there throughout the few seasons that he's been with the Astros. So the concern obviously instantly was injury, and then it was concussion. I think the way they handled it, they were you know, obviously handling them with kids' gloves, getting them off, carting off, and things like that. And so you're concerned that the issue might be bigger than it really is. I think they did end up flying home with the team last night.
Yeah.
And like we said earlier, they were seen walking around the clubhouse on their own power, which is a really good thing. So it could have been way worse. But in the moment, I mean, you just catch your breath, right? They play the Yankees tonight.
They play the Angels. Look, their schedule is what it is. And it's not like we're in the beginning of October and it's freak out mode. But yeah, any injury, you're getting into July.
Right.
Not good.
Right. And so you're just kind of like, oh, no. That instantly start freaking out about what it's going to look like if both Yordan Alvarez and I had it in my mind within the first 30 seconds. I was like,
you go worst case scenario.
I was like, Yordan season's done. Yordan season's done now.
Because Yordan was on the ground not moving for like a minute straight.
What's it called?
EMT?
EMT.
EMT's out, yeah.
EMS?
They brought that. Now with Jake Odorizzi, was the stretcher necessary? I don't know. But the thing with Yordan was scary,
right,
and Jeremy Pena. So we hope to know more about them. Usually Dusty Baker meets with the media a couple of hours before the game, and the Astros play the Yankees, so we expect to hear from Dusty. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, day three of the hearing with Deshaun Watson and the Honorable Sue L. Robinson. We're going to talk about that and get your takes on that coming up next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Day three of the NFL hearing involving Deshaun Watson and the honorable former, right, I guess she's currently retired, Sue L. Robinson is presiding over that. She's that neutral arbitrator, of course, that the NFL agreed upon. Quite the process this could be. So we're on day three. I naively thought we would know by the end of the week, but it is looking more and more like that's not the case. Peter Schrager, who covers the NFL for NFL Network, is on Good Morning Football, also does stuff with Fox, was talking to Pat McAfee on the Pat McAfee Show and explained what he thought would happen and the possible timeline here.
I can't project on this because it is so fluid. Things were going one way, and then you get more women coming out and saying, actually, hey, no, there's more women coming. And that door is left open. So those numbers have continued to add up. When you talk about the legal thing, you've nailed it, Pat, where it's here's the recommendation from the judge. Usually those are held in very high regard. And then Goodell will make a recommendation or make a ruling on that. Then the NFLPA will appeal that. But then the NFL can appeal the NFLPA's ability to appeal that, which is what happened with the Brady case. And it goes all the way up the courts and you miss games and the guys go in and then they go back. I think the NFL, from their standpoint, would like to have a decision on this in the next couple of weeks before we head into training camp. And I believe Watson's camp would obviously be hopeful that he can get on the field. And the Browns, of course, would be happy to get him on the field. I think the public relations part of it, which you guys were discussing beforehand, I'm not so sure that's going to dictate how this goes. I think it's going to be from the facts that they have and from the recommendations that Ms. Robinson has on, that Justice Robinson has on this.
So as much as I like Peter Schrager and I think he does a great job, I do call BS on him saying that PR would not play a role in this. Mm-hmm. I hope a former judge can be unbiased. I really do. But Roger Goodell is still making the final decision if there are appeals, which I'm assuming there will be. Yeah, I think the PR thing plays a role. People can say all they want that they don't read headlines. People can say all they want that they don't consume that media and that they're just trying to be fair. But How many games did you give Ben Roethlisberger? How many games did you give Calvin Ridley for gambling? Right. Those things are going to matter.
The Calvin Ridley one, people have said that a lot. I've said it a lot. And I went and looked into it. What Calvin Ridley did is actually explicit. There's a punishment explicitly detailed in the code of conduct for what he did. And that's why he got
so
what
it's
he
cut
got.
And dry.
Right, exactly. Now, to us, this should be pretty. It's not explicitly denoted in the code of conduct what the punishment should be for Deshaun Watson, because nobody ever accounted for 24 allegations. You know, nobody thought that was going to be a thing that was going to happen. So for us, it's pretty cut and dry. It should be pretty similar, if not more so, than Calvin Ridley. But to your point about PR, I just saw this from 92.3 The Fan. They had Albert Breer on yesterday on one of their shows. And this is what Albert Breer said on 92.3 The Fan in Denver. In Cleveland. One thing I heard definitively over the weekend, Sue L. Robinson wasn't happy how public some things have become. I think there's some concern with the league. This thing could go the other way, talking about in favor of Deshaun Watson. So apparently she wasn't happy with how public some of the things have become on the case itself. Well, that's controlling PR.
If you're the neutral arbitrator with something involving the NFL, right, just know that things are going to be public.
Most of it's going to be public.
I actually thought that things have stayed pretty quiet.
Agreed. Comparative, but yes.
Yes, that is. Guys, Mike Florio, every step of the way, has just been on it. And he seems to have a suggestion every couple of days about how this should be handled. Yes, I know he has a law background, and oftentimes he does great, great work. But here is what Mike Florio had tweeted as a proposed deal. Now I have to go find it. To Pro Football Talk. Is it Pro Football Talk?
Yeah, Pro Football Talk.
To resolve this issue involving Deshaun Watson, he had said that he had noticed in the collective bargaining agreement, Section 5, and basically the layman's terms are that a player placed on paid leave who is eventually suspended gets credit for the games missed while on paid leave. So what he's saying is that Deshaun Watson should get credit for those games and then sit out some more. Now for the idea. The NFL and the NFLPA, acting on Watson's behalf, could agree that 2021 will be treated as a suspension, with Watson losing the $10 million he was paid. Also, he misses an additional 8 games to start the 2022 season. So the proposal, in like a sentence or less, or two sentences, is they could strike this deal, treat all of 2021 like an unpaid suspension. He'd pay back the $10 million he made last year, because he did make money, and sit out the first 8 games of 2022 without pay. So that would be a total of 25 games. Do you guys agree with this Mike Florio suggestion? It's essentially time served, counting last year.
No, not even a little bit. He chose to sit out. He chose to sit out the season because he didn't want to play for the Texans anymore. No, that's not that would be wildly unacceptable if that's something that they pursued. I would absolutely hate that. So he loses a total of $10,500,000. That's what he loses.
And most of Twitter agrees with him. With you, excuse me. Most of Twitter agrees with you.
That'd be absolute garbage. You don't get time served because you wanted to be whiny and you wanted to sit out for a season because you didn't want to play for this team and man up to your contract. You made the decision. You signed on the dotted line. You didn't live up to your end of the bargain. And so now, because you decided to go against the contract that you signed, now that gets to be time served against 24 allegations, at least 24 women that you manipulated and used your power to.
And he
to
sat
try
out
to,
in large part for contract things.
Yeah, it was all contract things. He sat out. He was never going. He said, "I'm never playing for that." We talked about this yesterday when we listened to the David Culley audio. That David Culley even said Deshaun Watson told him, "I will not play for this team again. It's nothing against you. I won't play for this team again. You don't get to sit there." It's not like my son can't walk up to me and be like, "Dad, you can't ground me for a week because I stayed in my room for the last week watching stuff on my phone." That's not how that works. No, you're still going to be grounded. You're still going to be punished for the thing that you did wrong. That'd be I would be beside myself as an NFL fan if they decided to go that route.
I want agents and players to know that they cannot manipulate the NFL.
Yes.
when their client does something they shouldn't do. Now, do I think that there are certain players that should be treated better? Am I for player empowerment, et cetera? Do you do what's best for you? Absolutely, I am. But I don't want us to get to a point where we're like, okay, well, David Mulugeta has a lot of powerful clients, so the NFL is going to listen to what he has to say. I don't care. I don't care if it's Lee Steinberg. I don't care if it's CAA. I don't care if it's, you know, any of the big sports media agents like Rich Paul, Adele's, you know, husband or whatever, boyfriend for NBA. I don't care. I literally don't care. And I don't think the NFL should care either. And what I feel like may be happening, and this is regardless of whether you think Deshaun did it or not, whatever. I don't think that agents and players should get a say in punishments when they've done something out of pocket.
Not at all. They shouldn't be a part of the conversation.
Like, what is this about a negotiation?
Right. You look, as an agent, it's your job to get him endorsements. It's your job to get him a contract. It is not your job to try to manipulate and persuade the league that he plays for to try to change his punishment if he does something wrong. It's not your job to defend him. At the most, it's the NFLPA's job to defend him. And I even have my feelings about the NFLPA defending Deshaun Watson in this instance. They have to do it. They have to defend him. But the severity at which they defend him, it probably should be a little bit less than with other people. But it's not the agent's job to go in and negotiate anything, to talk about anything. There should be zero contact between Mulugeta and the NFL on this matter whatsoever. It's ridiculous that they're even entertaining that idea.
We're going to be talking about more coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, but first I do want to invite you tomorrow to join the party. This Friday, again, tomorrow, our summer circuit takes us to Cobos Q in Edo. We're going to be there bright and early starting at 7 a.m., so come by, hang out, enjoy the amazing food, the yummy bar, and get your long weekend started with some fun. So you can register to win, listen to this, a new grill from Texas Star Grill Shop and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel. So, again, tomorrow we're going to see you. Cobos Q, that's 2012 Rusk Street, R-U-S-K Street, and it's only a short walk from Minute Maid Park. See you there.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
In the interest of the NBA, there has been some rumors and some news regarding DeAndre Ayton. Josh Beard is in for Paul Gallant. Josh, what'd you just see online?
So I'm seeing
Tell me something good.
NBA, bow, bow. NBA free agency starts. You're going to get that song stuck in my head the rest of the day now.
I love Shaka Khan.
I am now going to tweet you lyrics of songs all day long. Lyrics to songs from the entirety of the album of Tick, Tick, Boom with Andrew Garfield. So get ready for that.
DeAndre Ayton, possibly?
Yeah, DeAndre Ayton.
To the Pacers?
Yeah, possibly to the Pacers. There's a lot of rumors flying around. The New York Post has rumors linked to the Nets. Obviously, NBA free agency opens up at 5 Central, 6 o'clock Eastern today. This is like my it's not my Christmas because the NFL draft is my Christmas, but this is kind of like my birthday. I love the start of NBA free agency. It's one of my favorite sports days. And there's a lot of rumors flying around about a lot of players, but DeAndre Ayton specifically has a lot of different destinations. I've seen the Timberwolves from some not so perfect sources. I've seen the Nets. I've seen the Suns don't want to break up their core. But one that I saw, interestingly enough, from Brian Windhorst and Tim McMahon is that the Indiana Pacers are very interested.
They got the cap space.
In DeAndre Ayton. They do. They
blue collar gold swagger. We grow basketball here. Built, not bought.
And they want to rebuild under Rick Carlisle, which are two things I never thought would ever find a marriage with each other. Rick Carlisle, known rookie hater, rebuilding around him is a very interesting prospect.
And he does have a young staff, which they've gotten some new staff members. I worked for the Pacers for 2 years back when I was in Indiana. I was an announcer. Love the Pacers, and there's nothing worse than the fact that the state where basketball is the most important has never won an NBA championship. They came close. Always salty to Shaq for that.
Always,
yes,
yeah.
Always.
49 states, it's basketball.
But this is Indiana. You know, I'm so proud of you. You know the motto. Here's my side tangent on that. Like in Indiana, we're all about like we want people to. Yes, we have pride in the fact that it's Midwest, it's blue collar. Mm-hmm. But especially in indie, every time an event is an indie, it's like, oh, corn fed. And they like open up with a shot of like cornfields and basketball and, you know, like super like overalls and all that. And I get that, but it's like, we're more than that. You know, we have some culture. And so all of the logos and the mottos for the Pacers all involve blue collar and all of that. So I always wanted to like push away from that, maybe be like more than corn in Indiana.
But also I saw a video on TikTok of a guy playing basketball in a cornfield on a basketball goal made out of a box wearing overalls and boots.
Was so it my uncle?
Because that's my view of Indiana now, is just that's where everybody learns to play basketball. That's why they're also blue collared hard nosed players.
Yeah, no, that guy's a 3-star going to Purdue.
Right. Yeah. He's Matt Painter's dream.
There's another kid down the block. It's actually a laundry basket that he plays in. He's going to Kentucky. It's wild.
You laugh, but the thing in the cornfield is actually how we build the basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 There's a lot of basketball goals in cornfield. But anyway, stereotypes be damned. DeAndre Ayton, great with the Suns. I'll be interested to see where he ends up. I think he could be a game changer.
Well, especially depending on what they do with Miles Turner and and Malcolm Brogdon. If they can find a way to move them in the free agency, that opens it up for DeAndre Ayton. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah, Miles Turner, Texas native, Texas bred, Mr. Longhorn himself, Miles Turner, although he's been injured a lot recently, though.
Yes, he has been injured a lot. He's very, very nice. I've met his parents as well. He's comes from a really good family. So we'll see what happens there. All right. It is time for our world famous gambling segment. We do this every Thursday at this time, and it's usually NFL related. Today will be no exception. And of course, it ties into everything, guys, that we've been talking about with the discussions around Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson, whatever happens with him, whatever suspension or lack thereof, is going to have a domino effect. Could it affect where Jimmy Garoppolo goes? Could it affect, you know, certainly an opportunity with Baker Mayfield, for sure. Baker Mayfield, although it seems like a divorce with the Browns is imminent, is technically still on the roster for the Cleveland Browns. So we go to the odds checker for where Baker Mayfield could end up. Now, these are the current odds. Keep in mind, we are on day 3 of the Deshaun Watson hearing. Right. So I expect these odds to maybe change once that hearing is over and we know what the suspension is going to be for him. As of right now, the Browns keep him. It's at minus 220. The implied chance there is 68.8% are the odds that he stays with the Browns. That's higher than I would think.
Way higher than I thought it would
Carolina
be.
Panthers is at plus 275. That's 26.7%. That seems like the most likely destination if they do trade him.
Yeah.
Just because they are in need of a quarterback. The Seattle Seahawks, that's the other team that Baker Mayfield had said that he was interested in. That's at plus 290, 25.6% implied chance. And then, guys, coming in at fourth, the Houston Texans at plus 650. Now,
no thank you.
This is just a 13.3% chance. And then the Falcons,
that's too high.
The Falcons are plus 1500 at 6.3% chance. But the fact that the Houston Texans are on this, when we're pretty sure they're riding with Davis Mills, is fascinating. What do you guys think? Are these odds high or low?
The Houston Texans, I think the Falcons and the Texans probably shouldn't even be on here. I think the Falcons are happy with Marcus Mariota. They drafted Desmond Ridder. I wouldn't be surprised if Ridder is starting by like week 5 or 6 of this year. I could definitely see him starting this year. Did not know that Desmond Ridder, while he was in college, was a DoorDasher. He's in a really good commercial for DoorDash.
Desmond
Ridder, his money
I covered him a little
DoorDash.
Bit in Cincinnati.
Yeah,
really
very
nice
cool.
guy. I'm excited to see what he can do in the league. But this was a draft quarterback class. This was a draft class, rather, I should say, with quarterbacks that were not known as the sexy
right.
quarterbacks that are going to come in and be big difference makers. Kenny Pickett is a Pittsburgh
yes.
kid. I think
yep.
he'll be great in Pittsburgh. What's Malik Willis going to do? I don't know. We know Ryan Tannehill isn't going to mentor him. but there are major question marks with this quarterback class. That's the other domino involving
yeah.
these odds. You don't have all these rookies that are creeping up.
Right, exactly.
You know, so where Baker Mayfield ends up has been a hot topic. Well, the odds being so high, minus 220 for the Browns to keep him, is shocking to
yes.
me. Yes. Sean Mapes, what say you? What do these odds mean to you that it looks like Vegas and our friends there think that Baker Mayfield is staying with the Browns?
They're way more, I don't know, I always forget what bullish means, but they're way more bullish on Baker Mayfield staying
in favor
with the,
of?
And yes, they're much more rosy in the view of the Baker Mayfield Cleveland Browns relationship than I am, because we played the sound, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was the day before, where he said, well, if they reach out, we can have a conversation about coming
back. So you're telling me there's a chance, to quote Dumb and Dumber.
That doesn't correlate to a implied chance of 68.8%.
Right.
That seems like it should be, I don't know, like,
you know what
50,
I think people are counting
other two
on?
Are 25.
I think people are counting on a long suspension for Deshaun Watson. And I think people are counting on the Browns saying, okay, well, do we want to ride with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback? Which, as a Colts fan, I can tell you, I do not think you should do that. I think people are counting, and the odds makers are counting on a long suspension for Deshaun Watson. And the Browns, in the odds makers' minds, they're looking at this and they're saying, okay, who else are the Browns going to play? So they're going to try to fix this marriage while Deshaun sits out his 1 year.
So I think I think that makes sense. Like, logically, that makes sense for everyone involved. The Browns can stay relatively competitive with Baker instead of Jacoby. And Baker, even this is a 1 year, I mean, it will be, he will not play next year for the Browns for sure, given how much they're committed to Deshaun Watson. But this is the best opportunity for Baker to
have a
tryout, basically, other team in the league.
This, to your point, Sean Mapes, this actually is best for both sides, right? It actually gives Baker the chance to play on a team loaded with weapons. They've added even more weapons. Defensively, they're going to be good again. They have Jadeveon Clowney again. It's actually Baker Mayfield's best chance. And it's the best chance for the Cleveland Browns to have a solid quarterback, because I don't, again, really believe in Jacoby Brissett. But can they fix the marriage?
I want to watch Baker Mayfield. Okay, now I want this to happen. I didn't want it to happen. You were talking about rookies. I'm thinking Matt.
I convinced you.
Yeah, Matt Corral was with the Carolina Panthers. He's not going to do any. He's not going to do enough to unseat Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold sucks too. That makes the most sense. The Carolina's just waiting for the Browns to pay more money of that $18 million that Baker is due. Now I want this to happen, and I want this to happen in only one way. If it doesn't happen this way, I'm going to be incredibly sad. I want him to stay with the Browns, and I want him to have a top 10 quarterback season. I want him to just sling it to Amari Cooper, and I want him to just have an insane season where it's like the Baker Mayfield, his last six games at the end of the 2020 season, Baker Mayfield. No injuries. He kind of stepped into his own. He was throwing it for like 250 plus every game, two touchdowns, three touchdowns to one interception. I want to see that Baker Mayfield for an entire 17 game season for the Cleveland Browns. I want to see him take them to the playoffs. I want to see him take them. Maybe he has like a slightly kind of deep run in the playoffs and they surprise everybody. And then he's an unrestricted free agent and he goes to another team. And the Cleveland Browns are saddled with a Deshaun Watson who hasn't played football in 2 years, and who knows what he's going to look like at this point. But Sean and Vanessa, both of y'all, you have sold me on this idea. I need to see this. It is great for Baker, and he could go anywhere he wants, and I want to see this happen.
I would love the Schadenfreude nature of that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just don't see how hurt Baker Mayfield's feelings are.
Yeah.
And how much of a grudge holder, and this maybe is unfair to Baker Mayfield, how much of a grudge holder he seems to be.
Yeah.
100. Well, the chip on the shoulder type thing.
I don't see him being like, yeah, you know what? I'll come in and bail you out. Yep.
But if you're – that'd be short-term. You'd have to deal with the short-term pride of it. Mm-hmm. But long-term petty, if you're playing the long game, and you're long-term petty, he'd be like, yeah, I'll bail you out in the instant. But in the back of his head, he's like, I'm going to bail you out, and then I'm going to walk away, and you're going to regret it.
A lot of marriages only stay together for the kids.
Yeah.
In this case, the kids are Cleveland Browns fans. Stay together for the kids. Write it out a year, even though if you're a Texans fan, it's actually better for the Browns to lose, because then you get higher draft picks.
Yeah, 100%.
But we expect an answer on Deshaun Watson at some point, definitely before training camp. Coming up, that was our world-famous gambling segment, guys, by the way. Good job, everybody. We are good at gambling.
Gamble.
That's a joke. Because,
oh, yeah. I guess I have to make a pick. I'll take the Seahawks at plus 290.
Yeah, make a pick. What'd you say?
Seahawks.
Okay.
I'm legitimately taking the Panthers. I think that's pretty good odds for the Panthers.
I'm taking the Browns. I think they show up in Say Anything style with the boombox, and they fix things with Baker Mayfield just for a year while Deshaun serves what we think will be a suspension. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our world-famous Garbage Time segment. Duh. That's next.
97.5.
breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I haven't checked the text line the whole show. That's terrible. I've just been focused on Twitch. But most people are saying that they want Deshaun Watson to get a lengthy suspension and that they do not agree with Mike Florio. Shocker. There's a new fast food item. And before I say what I'm about to say, I need our listeners to understand. I am not a foodie. I'm not going to go to some place called Branch and Olive and eat a vegan skewer for $30 and then all of that. I like to eat. And I love Taco Bell. I love Taco Bell, especially when I've had some adult beverages. And there is a new menu item at Taco Bell. It is a massive Cheez-It, and it's called the Big Cheez-It Tostada. The meal layers ground beef, sour cream, tomatoes, lettuce, and cheddar cheese on the cheesy cracker for only $2.49. It's abundantly cheesy yet nostalgic, is according to the press release.
Why nostalgic?
I don't know why.
I've never had a massive Cheez-It.
Sean Mapes had not seen this.
Yeah, I opened it up on.
What are your thoughts? Because he and I, we all love Taco Bell on this show. We're a Taco Bell supporting show.
I am 100% in. Because when you said Cheez-It, you know, it's a collabo between Cheez-It and Taco Bell. I was not thinking nearly large enough. I wasn't thinking that the Cheez-It would be so large. This is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and I really want to try it. And what's horrible about that is, like, today's not the best day to do it, but I'm probably going to go do it. This is a nightmare food for Paul, by the way, because Paul doesn't like cheese. I don't know if y'all know that about Paul. He doesn't like cheese, and he doesn't like chocolate.
I think he's mentioned. I definitely mentioned cheese.
But a massive Cheez-It inside of a Taco Bell dish that also has lots of cheese in it is probably not a good. So
I have IBS, so I shouldn't.
My wife does too.
Does terrible, unspeakable things to me. If I'm going to be in my apartment for the rest of the night, though, will I risk it to get the biscuit? Absolutely, I will.
My wife does too. We had been dating for 2 weeks, and we went to a Tex-Mex place. She had the queso and everything, and she forgot to take her medicine. And it was like 2 weeks into us dating. I'm like, yeah, this is the woman for me. She ate cheese even though she has IBS and knew what was going to happen, knowing I was going to be there with her for the whole weekend. She's the one that I need to stay with. I'm going to try this today.
Is it available yet?
I thought it was available already.
If it's being consumed this weekend.
It has to be. If it's available, I will try it today and come back with a review tomorrow. Because this needs to be eaten almost instantly because it looks delicious.
Yeah, it looks really good. And I'll try pretty much anything with a Cheez-It.
It looks like they're both currently, and maybe this is outdated information, but it looks like they're both testing in a location in California. So I don't know if you can get it.
Man, that makes me sad. We actually.
Why do the people in California get everything?
They really do.
They have high taxes, but they have nice weather and Cheez-Its, apparently.
The only place I've been near a testing fast food store was KFC. One of their testing stores was in Bellevue, Nebraska. So when I was stationed in Bellevue/Omaha, the KFC store, every time they'd come up with a new idea, what was it, the chicken sandwiches that you could eat that had the chicken breast, the fried chicken breast the bun of the sandwich?
KFC Double Down.
Yes, they tested
Sean
that.
Sean Mapes.
That was very fast.
The Famous Bowl.
They tested the Famous Bowl and the Double Down at that store before they were ever available anywhere else, and I loved going to that KFC.
I love a Famous Bowl from KFC. And if you don't like good food. All right, it's time for a segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
There are a lot of questionable decisions made among businesses and sports, but this one might be one of the dumbest. All England clubs bid to replace ball boys and girls with trained dogs at Wimbledon, suffered a major setback when, shocker, the pooches refused to return the balls. According to the Daily Star, an attempt was made by a local tennis club to teach the dogs to fetch balls and return them. However, they fetched the ball but refused to drop them and had to be offered treats to get the ball back, aka what every dog does ever.
My dog, whenever I try to throw at stuff, she'll bring it back, and then she'll bring it back to me. She does the same thing. She won't drop it, but she doesn't want a treat. She wants me to chase her. She'll run up to me. She won't drop the ball or the frisbee or whatever. And when I try to grab it, she'll run off and she'll start running around with it in her mouth. So I fully expect that they should have known that something like this was going to happen.
This was dumb.
I'm sorry. You need to have fully logical, brain thinking human beings doing exactly what you need them to do. Now, the kids sometimes get a little off kilter. They do some of the things that that Wimbledon doesn't consider like within the realm of what they want them to do. It's not good. It's not good form. It's bad form by the ball boys and ball girls sometimes.
Also, stop trying to take away jobs from hardworking Americans.
It's Wimbledon, so yeah.
It's not Americans.
British Americans.
Stop taking away jobs from, what are they?
From hardworking Brits.
From English.
Brit
from
children.
English, British people.
Englanders. No, Brits. Englandishers.
Also, so assume the dogs actually return the ball.
There's
wouldn't
saliva.
They have slobber on them?
And all don't over them.
Like, you don't just use the ball once, and it's not like baseball. Like, I imagine they keep the balls in rotation.
Yeah, this was just dumb.
Now, in fairness, the people do say, and it is, I think it's an old wives' tale, but that dogs' mouths are the cleanest surface on the planet.
There's so never been anything
make
more
sure,
untrue
make sure
than
you
that.
Put dog saliva true. All over
yeah,
everything.
That is, yeah, there
it's
is
for sure
no
true.
Way.
100% true.
So it's well, cleaner than surgery?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I've smooched a couple dogs, and then I'm like,
cleanest,
what's that?
Cleanest smooch
yeah.
of your life.
Oh, disgusting. Yeah, well, with me,
that
probably. Yeah, that may be true. A Denver couple got the surprise of a lifetime when the Stanley Cup was mistakenly delivered to their doorstep. Fox 31 obtained a post on Nextdoor from Kit Carbler, who said the Stanley Cup was accidentally delivered to his house, meant for Colorado Avalanche captain Gabriel Landeskog. Imagine the Stanley Cup accidentally gets entered. You open, you're like, oh, maybe my spouse got me a surprise. Did we forget that we ordered something from Crate and Barrel? No, it's the freaking Stanley Cup.
You got to play it cool.
You got to take pictures with that thing. You got to chug beer from it. You take a couple naughty videos with it.
Force
do
them.
Do some weird things.
Wait, what? Force them to come back and take it from you. You're going to have to pry this thing from my cold, dead, naked hands. And you're going to have to get this from me because you got to play it cool. You'll be like, oh, I appreciate it. I've been waiting for this. I knew they told me that you were coming today with it. Just go ahead and set it over there on
Carbler
the kitchen table.
Said the Stanley Cup keeper knocked on the door and figured out that they were at the wrong address, but did let him see it, touch it, and take a couple pictures
that's pretty
of that.
Cool.
That is really, really cool.
Did he
cool.
drop it on the ground while listening to Pantera? Because that is probably something that he should have done.
Being the handler for the Stanley Cup must be the coolest job in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your literal job just to make sure that this doesn't break.
And then every once in a while, like, oh, got sent to the wrong address. Come on, just take some pictures. Whatever. Have a good time with it.
How much do you think the Stanley Cup handler gets paid?
It is good PR.
Low six figures? No, I have no idea.
Imagine, though. That's what I was thinking. Oh, I was thinking, like, $70,000-$80,000 a year.
That's a
to
great
be the
job.
Stanley Cup
Sean
handler.
McVay's get back guy. It's kind of on the same.
Yeah.
You know, the guy. Yeah.
That's
Sean
too much,
McVay that has a get back guy.
Again, that's too much work.
Maybe it's the
too
same
much
person.
Work. You got to constantly pull him back.
He's tugging on it.
Yeah, that's too much work. I just want to carry a cup around.
A man took his first bite of what appeared to be a McDonald's Big Mac while at Texas Border Patrol checkpoint. And at least one agent found that odd. That's because the nearest McDonald's was more than 60 miles south, speaking of fast food. And as it would turn out, the hungry Texan was smuggling meth.
Surprise.
And that meth was in the cheeseburger, the Big Mac. Good for this patrol agent who somehow knew that the nearest McDonald's was 60 miles away.
He was eating the Big Mac that the meth was in?
Yeah, I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't.
It was like was he just carefully eating around a baggie of meth that was
I don't know
between
what
the lettuce and tomato?
I think he was trying to take a bite and swallow the baggie, I'd imagine.
I'd imagine. Yeah.
But good eyes on that Border Patrol agent being like, why would you
He's like
eat
us.
One right now?
Hey, when you love a restaurant so very much, you know how far away those restaurants
exactly.
are. When I was in, when I lived in the Chick-fil-A in the Midwest didn't used to be a thing. The closest Chick-fil-A when I was in,
I know,
when
I'm
I was
from
in Nebraska,
Indiana. We didn't have it for a long time.
It was like 140 miles away, or I think it was 145 miles away. Literally the week after my wife and I moved away, they announced that a Chick-fil-A was being built next to our house.
NASA has discovered the crash site of a mystery rocket body that collided with the moon's surface earlier this year. The impact left behind a widespread double crater, meaning it wasn't the average rocket. However, since its crash landing, None of Earth's space exploring nations have claimed responsibility, guys. Aliens or no aliens.
So many things that you just said are the greatest rock band names of all time. Okay, so
Double Crater.
New Rock
Band. Mysterious
Projectile. Those are the song names. Those are the song names. Mystery Rocket Body, band name. Great band name. But yeah, Mystery Crater, definitely the first song on that album. Moon Baffle, because that's in the title of this article. Moon Baffle is definitely going to be another song.
I just came up with a whole type album.
Yeah, it's going to be a real space themed rock band, like 80s hair metal type thing. Like the band that sings I Believe in a Thing Called Love. I can't remember
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go get some Taco Bell. The birthday boy, Jeremy Branham, and Joel Blank are up next. It's the Killer Bees from 12 to 3. Thanks for listening, guys.
ESPN 97.5.
Big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.